Sweet Ayer and Scott Reed with you here on this Thursday afternoon.
Oh, having so much fun.
So much fun. Service Ontario is expanding what you can do online. And I know we have these conversations about, you know, we got to digitize our healthcare system. We got to digitize everything. Why are pharmacies still using fax machines? Why does public health think that pharmacists should have fax machines still? There are privacy issues that come along with this too, though. So announced yesterday, Service Ontario looking at expanding what you can do online instead of having to go to a Service Ontario location. And it's going to include health card renewals through video appointments. You don't actually have to physically go in to get that health card renewed, or applying for a marriage license online. The premier saying that this will help people save time and money. What are you thinking? Are you thinking you're going to get married more often? What was that snicker?
No, I'm like, you know, call me when you can get easily divorced online. That's like, you're selling for the wrong end of the bottle for me, man.
Where are the divorce applications? It's really hard to get divorced, guys. Our next guest is going to talk about this with us. Carmi Levy joins us because I thought that there are some privacy concerns here. We were talking about title fraud, right? Because there were some stories about people selling your home without you knowing it. Maybe you were out of the country at the time. Part of the reason why there seems to be an uptick in title fraud is that you can digitally sign these agreements. Right? So now if a marriage license could be filed online, that's essentially a digital signature.
There's going to be marriage fraud. Oh my God. I never married Annie. This is an outrage.
Carmi, do you think someone would do this?
Well, if anybody wants to pretend to be either me or Scott and pretend to get married on our behalf, I invite them to give it a try. That would be a fun thing to write about.
Yeah.
But no,
others have played those cards and found the game unrewarding.
That's right. I'm not worth spoofing. And the sad truth of the matter is that just because it goes online does not necessarily mean that it is more or less vulnerable than something in person, right? So if it's manual, if it's paper-based, it's also subject to inefficiencies up to and including cybersecurity breaches. And so the sad truth of the matter is that Service Ontario can be breached even if you show up at the office. And the pandemic has taught us that over the last almost 3 years now, we can lead more of our day-to-day lives in the digital space and not be unnecessarily exposed to cybersecurity risk. That's the thing, is we've learned that, well, just because it's online doesn't mean that we're all going to get hacked, as long as the right precautions are in place, as long as we're all trained properly. There's still risk. There's always going to be risk, but you have to balance that against what does it cost to deploy these services, and does it make sense for us to be setting up offices in dingy strip malls that nobody wants to go to and stand in line for hours on end? I think this is inevitable.
I think you called it, man. Like, my sense is, yes, there are some people who will have reservations, but my reaction, like, when you got to like deal with, you know, license plates, and obviously now the renewal stickers are, you know, no longer happening, but like all of those kinds of core functions, and people are just, all you hear are people going, haven't we gotten to the point where we just do this stuff online? Like, why can't I do this online? And I just think, you know, they're playing catch up, and, you know, frankly, good on them. I'm sure there are risks involved. And so, like, that, my question sort of revolves around that. Like, from your perspective, what kind of service would you say, yeah, you know what, let's not go there. That one ought to be done in person. Like, is there anything that you think instinctively raises the risk too high?
No, I don't think so. And because if you look at some other businesses, let's look to financial services. Yeah. My bank, for example, I can't even go. They've closed so many branches near me. I've got to drive way further just to get to my branch now, because the branch network is being essentially depleted, because it's easier and more efficient for them to deliver those services online. So even if I wanted to, you know, be up close and in person, stand in front of a teller and you know, sign something with my hand with a pen, I wouldn't be able to. So other industries have moved in that direction, and good on Service Ontario for finally getting with the program and joining the 21st century. But compared to other industries and other sectors, they are way behind, because they're still holding on to that notion that there are services that should never be digitized because of security. And in 2023, that kind of thinking just doesn't fly.
But it goes along with what you started off with, right, Carmi, which is to have the right precautions in place. And I wonder if we have those right precautions in place. It doesn't seem like we're ensuring that we can't be hacked before we put all of this information online.
Yeah, I think you've hit the button, Reshmi. The sad truth of the matter is we are our own worst enemies when it comes to cybersecurity. And if you think about, you know, so Service Ontario rolls out all these digital services and then we connect to them using our devices. Most of the time, our devices aren't optimized. We're not turning on all the security features that are available to us, two-factor authentication or encryption or things like that. We're leaving our personal information all over social media, and it can, of course, be harvested by cyber criminals and used against us, up to and including these services that are being deployed by Service Ontario. So we don't do ourselves any favors. And quite frankly, our collective level of digital training and security training needs to improve because we are being victimized unnecessarily because we refuse to recognize that this stuff is important. So yeah, we have a role to play. We've got to do our homework and we have to come ready so that when Service Ontario gives us these services online, we can use them without exposing ourselves and the government to more risk than is absolutely necessary.
Well, that's my motive. I want to make certain that I save the government cost and discomfort. speaking of online marriage, obviously after whatever, two, three, months, maybe weeks of being married, there's nothing left to do but sit on the couch and watch Netflix. And they are changing their password policy, which they've warned. I think they warned this coming almost a year ago, right? But now they're starting to roll them out. So tell us what those rules are and how they're going to screw us around in terms of not being able to lend our passwords to our kids and our iPads and all that kind of stuff.
So the reason they're doing this is they've got about 220 or so million users globally, and an estimated 100 million of them are sharing their passwords with someone else who doesn't pay for it. So think about the numbers here. Think about how much money they're leaving on the table, how much revenue they don't get, because they haven't cracked down on this problem yet. Now, it wasn't a problem a few years ago because they were growing by double digits. Well, their growth flattened out. They actually lost users last year. Everyone kind of freaked out. The CEO quit. And so now they're saying, well, we've got to do this. We've got to take care of this. So what's going to happen is you are now going to have to sign into your Netflix account from your home Wi-Fi network every 31 days. And if you don't do that, then your account is going to be blocked and you're going to have to call Netflix and arrange to have access re-granted to you. So
that's not too bad. I can game that.
It kind of is, but the thing is, there are so many what I call use cases where, you know, we're going to be on the wrong side of it. So basically, Netflix assumes that we have to keep, you know, pressing the button like Pavlov's dog to prove that we are in fact legit. And the one time that we don't, because we have to put it on our calendars now every 31 days, and if we don't, all of a sudden our Netflix is going to go dark and we're going to have to call them, which of course will take hours to figure out. This almost treats us, it punishes us for the fact that Netflix can't get its act together in terms of making people pay for its service. So now, as a customer, all I want to do is watch movies and TV. I want to binge watch. I don't want to have to go through all this administrative stuff every month. And I don't want to be punished and be blocked from my account because I was traveling or maybe I had other more important things to do and I just didn't have the time to specifically log in to make sure that I got another month. It's punitive, and I don't disagree that Netflix needs to do this, but there are ways to do it without ticking off your customers. And they're saying they're going to experiment with different things. So this is the first thing they're trying. It'll be interesting to see if Netflix customers complain pretty loudly. And I'm already seeing in social media, they're not very happy. And frankly, as you can tell, neither am I.
Carmi Levy, we appreciate you.
Don't worry, buddy. I got your back. Chubby Lover 69. I have your Netflix password.
It is the Rush News Talk 1010 Toronto.